Hello, everybody. I'm Ion Nedelcu. I'm part of the bloc and the representative of the Romanian Space Agency, the strategic partner of this conference. And I kindly ask you to bear with me for the one of the last events and talks of this conference. The very interesting part of this section is the ceremony award. Or award ceremony of the Phosphor-G EO Data Challenge. And for introducing the context of this challenge, I kindly invite Francesco Barbato from the European Commission to give us a keynote speech on the Copernicus program. Francesco, please.
Thank you. Let me see, should I speak here or should I speak here? I'll stay here at the computer, so I'll give you back this one. All right. So good evening, everybody. I know it's quite late, and the week of the conference is almost finishing, and I think you're probably a bit tired, and you're wondering what is this guy here doing on stage telling about Copernicus. So first, let me tell you where I'm from. So I work for the European Commission. I recognize that here this is an international forum with quite international people coming from outside outside the EU, the European Union. And the European Commission, you can consider it a little bit as the executive bodies, if you want, the government of Europe. So who implement design policies and implement policies, policies that are, of course, approved by the co-legislator of Europe, which are the European Council and the European Parliament. But at the Commission, in implementing policies, we do a number of quite cool things. And two of them that are of interest for this community. One, you probably have heard of it, even if you're not living in Europe. It's called Horizon 2020, which is one of the largest publicly supported research program in the world, in which we've got quite a consistent part on ICT and space, and the convergence of the two, of which also I will say a few words in my talk. And the second thing, and you read it here on the slide, is Copernicus. So Copernicus, I'm sure that many of you will know, and I'm very happy that the focus of this year's Phosphor-G has been on data, and there is an obvious handshake between what you do in developing interesting technologies for geospatial and satellite imaging, Earth observation, and Copernicus. So Copernicus is not only the satellites, it's a wider network of things that I'm gonna briefly introduce. And so what I want to do is spend a few words on the program itself, just to put some facts straight and to tell you about some interesting things, I hope. And then, just to keep you awake until the end, so I'll talk about a few funding opportunities through Horizon 2020 and the Copernicus War Program. So hopefully that will keep you alive until the end of the till the end of the presentation. It won't be long. After me, there's going to be the delivery of the Data Challenge Award. So I know that you're all curious probably who are the winners of these awards that we're going to hand out. So without much further ado, I will start my presentation. So Copernicus. Copernicus is what we call it, Europe's eye on Earth. So it's an Earth observation program that is quite comprehensive. It's done of what we call the Sentinel satellites, which many of you know for sure because they've been the object of your studies and your work that has been presented here at the conference. But it is also a network of in situ data. So sensor networks that are available through various organizations that are put together at the disposal of Copernicus users. So the Commission, and this is something that I would like to say for the European friends that are here, the Commission is the program manager of Copernicus. So the European Union has been the starter of the Copernicus program, and this is something that I think we can all be very proud. You know, in Europe, the European Union, the European Commission for which I work, oftentimes, you know, we are in the press, not all the time, actually, you know, with positive notes, but there is a very positive part of the work that we do that is to support a number of cool things. And one of these is try to help citizens, business, ourselves, our society, to keep an eye on the environment. And in addition to that, to develop cool applications based on satellites. And here I preach to the already converted, you know what I'm talking about. So Copernicus was started as entirely as a policy support program. So the older of you might recognize an old acronym under which the program was known, GMES, Global Monitoring for Environment and Security, which a few years ago has been rebranded to Copernicus. As I said, policy support program. So this was done to serve the needs of governments, national governments, the European policymakers, to monitor the status of the environments and to supply services in different areas. And here, this is what we call the Copernicus service that you see in the slide. So as I said, Copernicus is a system. It's not only the Sentinel satellites. Sentinel satellites and the in-situ network produce the raw data, which are then processed into products, information products, by six different services, which are active on the land, the marine, the atmosphere, the climate change, security, and emergency. So varied, but all to support the policies of the Union and its member states. But, and again, this is something that you know very well, over the past 10, 15 years, there has been a digital revolution that has touched every sector of the economy, every possible economic domain, including Earth observation, which has already been quite an IT-intensive domain from its start, and it's in quite an evolution of things. But the capabilities that we have today to deal with data, to deal with the volumes of data, with the velocity of data, and the variety of data, basically the three V's of big data as we know them, are unprecedented. So in addition to being a policy support program, Copernicus is now an excellent industrial support program. Industrial meaning that we are able to help and develop a number of applications for many different sectored environments that were not thought out when the program was conceived many years ago. And this is where you guys are also helping with your own work and your own applications. And this is what we call the downstream economy. So in addition to supplying the data to the services for the information product and support to the policy, there are a number of users, and this community is one of those users, that develop their own applications using the data that we make available. How do we make it available? So here you see in bold, I hope the bold is visible, not very much. What is the strength, one of the strengths of these programs? One of the strengths is that the data are delivered under an open data scheme, which means that everybody is free to use it, reuse it, and do whatever they want, from research to commercial applications and everything in between, including using it as data for open source application. We have done something else recently. Last year, we launched five different data and access platforms, which are called the DIAs, which are basically modern cloud environment that not only distribute the data, but they offer cloud services for applications to be built on top of the data. And this is something that we did, I think, with some perspective. So you know that there are a lot of players, giant IT players, especially non-Europeans, that are active in this domain, in offering cloud services, also using this kind of data and hosting this cloud of data. As Europe, we thought that it would have been nice to try to do something in this realm and see if we could support some larger initiative and see if we could create some European capacity to serve these domains. And these DIAs have been active for a year. Here you have the list of them. They're all very easily to find on the internet. Please, if you don't know them, take a look. This may be something interesting for your own work as well. All this information that I'm giving, they're not only part of this presentation, which I hope will be distributed later on, but also they're very easily accessible on the Copernicus.eu website. So, of course, the data are accessible through these ones, but also they're accessible through the usual channels of the European Space Agency, which I forgot to mention before. The program is conceived and is managed by the European Commission, but we implement it through our entrusted entities, which are our partners in the operations of the European Space Agency and EUMETSAT. Then, we have got seven satellites in orbit today. I'm not going to describe them, you probably know them better than I do. So we got Sentinel-1, two satellites, we got Sentinel-2, another two satellites, Sentinel-3, another two satellites, Sentinel-5P, one satellite. So We have more coming online. There will be more satellites in the future. So this is just the start. And the growing volumes that we have today, they're posing already quite some challenges. And this is actually something that I would like to connect to the future slides. These are big data problems that we have today in managing and making sense of this data. I have seen a lot of many different, very interesting applications here based on artificial intelligence and the like, you know, the new popular technologies. We have a problem of scale here. So I've seen lots of examples which are, you know, based on the needs of the requirements that started the work on the applications. But we got full archives that are available for you to work on. They are, you know, these satellites, they continue to acquire data. We produce in excess of 16 petabytes of data every year, and this is all including the raw, data. So the services themselves, the 6 ones that I mentioned before, they produce their information products, which are also released as open data, and they are there for you to uptake and to use. So what we're trying to stimulate, you will see again in a slide or two, is the use of the archives, which require quite some capacity, quite some vision, quite some backing of technology. I think it's important as a union. So once we have invested in the system, not only we want to multiply the users of the data that we produce, but also we would like to make sure that through new technologies, the entire archives are used and exploited. This is the scope of the work that we do, and you guys are instrumental in achieving these kind of objectives. Then I will not spend very much time on the applications, but because you guys know very well, but I would like to give you some policy context on something else that we're working on at the Commission. So you know very well that in order to fuel technologies like artificial intelligence, we need data, and we need vast volume of data to train the machine learning and the like. So we've got a big program that is upcoming to support artificial intelligence in the Commission. So this is starting to be deployed already in Horizon 2020, and you will see more coming online in the future future framework program for research, which is called Horizon Europe and the Digital Euro program. But we've got already something to work on, and the two work on are the funding opportunities that I'm going to describe in a moment. What I want to introduce here, and so that you will better understand the discussions that I will make when I will present the calls, is the concept of European data spaces. So here, this community works very nicely on geospatial. This is your raison d'etre. But I've seen already in your applications throughout this week that there are many integration of data with other data sources. This is not only the geospatial layer, but oftentimes I've seen lots of Twitter feeds, for example, social networking. If not sensors coming from other domains that are not necessarily the space domain. So there is a scope that we call European data economy to create opportunities by putting together different data value chains, of which geospatial data are an integral part. Why is that so? Because everything is based on geography. Everything is geospatial. Everything has to be localized, and we've got great resources that tells us the state of our environment basically in real time, almost in real time, with the satellites that we put in orbit. So there is a great deal of chances to work on integrating these valuable data assets with data assets coming from other industrial domains. This is something that we believe very much, because this creates new opportunities, not only for a community of developers, but also for the business. And the kind of solutions that you provide, open source, they are, as you well know, also a very well-placed mechanism to support business operations. So it is important that, and this has been demonstrated actually through a lot of work of open data that has been done, not only on Earth observation, but many other kind of open data that the government have been opening up in these years, that they become much more valuable for users when they are integrated with other data, with other data sets. And this is the same kind of paradigm that we'd like to support with European data spaces, which are not technical platforms. So don't imagine a cloud environment, but imagine just an environment where things can happen, where you've got the data sets that have got the right formats, they've got the right interoperability mechanism, they're machine readable, they're standardized across sectors so that they can talk to each other. So you probably, I'm sure you're familiar with the linked open data paradigm. So those kind of connectors opportunities that they open up, we are trying to implement in different domains of the economy and across sectors. This all to fuel artificial intelligence. So based on the data value chains that I just described, a lot of things can be built on top. And this is something that is going to be very visible in the next programs that will be launched in 2021, successor of Horizon Europe, including work on high-performance computing. So here we've got a lot of, there's been some presentations on HPCs I've seen. We've got an opportunity. Europe is building high-performance computing capacity. And here we got a win-win situation. They're building the capacity that will be open to communities to use. And here we got lots of data that we'd like to use for simulations, various simulations of planet Earth. So this is a little bit the policy context on things that are happening right now and that you will see develop more clearly in the following years. However, Horizon 2020 is not over yet, and we've got the starter to it, if you want. So in Horizon 2020, you will find two different kind of blocks that are of interest for you. The first one is space. That is the one that is listed in this slide and I will describe in a moment. But also the ICT part of the Horizon 2020 work program is rich of opportunities for the European players that are in this room. For what concerns, for example, big data technologies or artificial intelligence, while they're not specifically targeting to geospatial applications, geospatial applications are very welcome. So in the ICT work program, please take a careful look at the big data technologies and artificial intelligence if you're looking for funding opportunities. For what concerns space, we characterize it for the usage of Copernicus. So here there are two calls that are opening up in October and they will close in November, and that will close in March of next year. So one are research, one are calling for research projects, the other are calling for what we call a research and innovation project. So let's start from DT Space 25. So what is this? So it's called Big Data Technologies and Artificial Intelligence for Copernicus. We're calling here for research projects that will basically build applications with Copernicus data at their core. At their core means that Copernicus, as I said before, can be used in conjunction with other data sets, with other data assets coming from other domains of the economy. The integration of them is actually helping to fulfill industrial requirements or societal requirements, which will drive the projects. So this is not about speculative research, this is about research driven by requirements, being them industrial or societal. The call is quite open. It doesn't prescribe too much in terms of application domains, actually it doesn't at all. So apart from having Copernicus data at the core of these applications, of this artificial intelligence and big data application, the call is quite open. And if you want to try to scale up some of the applications that you've been developing within the scope of the conference or within your work, this might be the place for you guys. So why do I say scale up? Because to speak very frankly, so a number of applications that I saw here, as I said before, they are quite contained in terms of data volumes that they process. This is something that should be quite larger in terms of volumes that you process, in terms of variety that you process as well. These are larger projects in the range of between 2, 3, 4 million euro, depending on what you guys are going to do. And probably some of you are familiar with Horizon 2020 projects. They're required to partner with other companies or research centers in Europe, at least three of them from three different European countries. These are the basic requirements. If you guys like to know more, so there will be information sessions down the road when the call will open. So if you Google copernicus.eu, you will find this information as soon as the date will be set, so that we can explain more in detail what these calls are for. So this is about research. The second one, DT Space 01, is called Copernicus Market Uptake. This is not about research. This is what we call research and innovation. Innovation actions are not to develop new technologies, they are to deploy new technologies. So this is these are actions they would like to see closer to the market, to bring something into the economic realm. So the scope is similar. Use Copernicus as core data assets to develop applications which are starting to be sort of mature, to have a path towards the market or towards the use. So when I say market, I also intend usage in public organizations, so to solve societal challenges. When you do so, we'd appreciate if you use European research infrastructures that are available. So for example, the DS that I mentioned before, but European Science Cloud or European tap into data assets from European data portals or national data portals, if not from industry. So these are, I think, opportunities that can be valuable because they're quite scaled up for this community, and you know they would allow to enlarge a little bit the scope of the applications that you develop in conferences like this. In addition to this, so these are you know the high level applications they were looking for. But with the Copernicus World Programs, we also do something else, and I probably have to go a bit quicker, right? So I'm looking at. But this is something that I think many of you will find of interest. So we've got a startup program within the Copernicus activities that is composed of different blocks, starting from Copernicus hackathons that we run in member states at local level. We run 20 of them every year. If you look at, if you Google Copernicus hackathons, you find the full list. There will be one in almost all member states, basically. These are hackathons. Maybe you think that the Commission reinvents the meaning of this kind of quite well accepted exercises. We are not. Hackathons are hackathons. These are sprint-like competitions. There is a challenge that is set up by the local organizing or local organizers. You will typically team up with other people to solve those challenges. There is a nice prize that the Copernicus hackathons offer, which is one seat into the Copernicus Accelerator. So the Copernicus Accelerator, I guess we are not reinventing what it is a coaching program that will last for a year in which you will be supported to develop your own business idea or business applications. And we've got, we support 50 companies every year. And 20 of them come from the first from the winners of the hackathons. So that's a nice prize, I think. Then the third layer is a Copernicus incubation, in which we select every year 20 companies or 20 startups, and we give them 50,000 euro equity free to develop their own business idea further and to bring it to the market. And hopefully to start walking on their own and seek private investment. I can tell you that this program has been quite successful as we run it. So there are companies that have made it quite big with private investors, raising up to 1 million or 2 million euros in funding in the first round after the Copernicus incubation. So this is a 6 month program, and I invite you all to take a look if you're interested. So these are competitive exercises, so this making a request is not sufficient. You need to be very good at what you're doing, and you need to be very competitive in Europe, so compared to the competitive landscape that Europe has to offer. I think this is it, and I hope you found this of a little bit of interest. And well, I wish you all good luck, and I think now it's time to give the word back to Jon for the prize. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attention.
Big hand of applause for Francesco.